In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. Welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio, and live on Cradio Online Radio. Finally this week, we're now live on Cradio, which is a Parousia Media-run radio here in Sydney, which is an online radio. So we're here this week as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. And we are joined by Robert Martek again.
Good. Hi, George, and welcome, and congratulations with that move with Cradio Online.
That's, yeah, definitely. That's so those promising. Who are online listening to Cradio can now hear us. And we're a double whammy.
Oh, good. Good. Fantastic.
Wonderful, yeah. And I think in my notebook I accidentally wrote Dark Knight with a K. Knight.
Well, yes, definitely. We need the armor.
I recently bought the old movie, The Dark Knight.
Yes.
That's probably why I was thinking of that. Then I wrote The Dark Knight of the... So the proper term is The Dark Knight of the Soul or the Mind.
Definitely.
That's what we're discussing tonight. What's the difference between... What is a dark night of the soul? We hear about it in the Catholic world.
Yeah, and we think, boy, if we're not having the dark night of the soul, we think there's something wrong with us. Well, it's actually quite the opposite. It's where God starts to take away your sense of Him through your senses, through sight, taste, touch, smell, and sound.
Yeah.
So He purges man's five senses, purifies them. And that's called like the sort of like the it's like the, it's known as the noonday demon. But then he comes back with another whopper towards the end of your life. And he shows himself exactly who he is and who you are. And boy, that's the big stick. That's where you think you've lost God. Everything's been a waste of time.
I'm not feeling it.
You're not feeling it, but you're not even anything you thought you were. God does a reverse.
Exactly.
Yes. And shows man who you really are and who he really is. So it's like being in a cave and then God says, just walk out the cave and then you get the sun. That's what that is like. And then you know it hasn't been a waste of
exactly.
time.
Exactly. You know what is? You know what is an accurate description of the dark night of the soul in everyday terminology, everyday. A little dark night of the soul is pretty much, I go to mass, I pray, do my rosary, trying to feel all holy, and I don't feel anything.
Yeah, yeah. And
you know, it's like God's not consoling me. You know, I'm not on cloud nine, cloud spiritual nine, you know?
Yeah, and this is where it's important to say right from the outset, George, that it's vital, it's imperative, it's really key that you have a good spiritual director, because he can sort out what is the dark night of the soul and what's depression or what's a mental illness. And both are treated in their own way holistically for a man
or woman.
Look, what
is a spiritual director? I mean, is he head of a spiritual company? And is there a board of directors? Are they a company structure, trust structure? What kind of a...
he's like your keys to God, really, because that's somebody that can, through their expertise and experience and knowledge and insight, guide you on your spiritual journey. But also on your spiritual journey, you've got all those human qualities and questions and aspirations you want to, ambitions and that, and they can help you sort out what they say is taken to be taken from God directly himself. So God allows spiritual directors to, in our path, for a way to say, look, see this person because I'm speaking through them. Exactly. Saints and sinners all had spiritual directors, but...
That's what I was going to say, that all saints pretty much, all of them
absolutely
had spiritual directors. And I think it's very important that we take heed of what they did. I mean, if somebody succeeded at something, whether it's sports, fitness, money, any kind of aspect in life, you want to learn from the people who were successful in those particular things. We don't want to learn from somebody who's talking about it, hasn't done it, you know?
Yeah.
Those are people. So the saints have had a spiritual director. And we'll talk a bit about that later, but let's say Saint Teresa of Avila. Let's take her an example. She's probably one of the most famous examples of the dark night of the soul, where she spent how many years unconsoled by God? She didn't feel anything
for years spiritually. And years. For years and years, he just let her.
So she went to mass.
Yeah,
didn't feel
anything.
It was just like an ordinary thing.
That's right.
As if she just came back, you know.
That's
right. It's as if all her hard work had been done spiritually, you know, those years.
Yeah.
So she was, let's say, feeling the consolation of God, feeling the grace of God, and then. Bang. One day.
Yeah, there's no consolation.
There's no more feelings anymore.
Yeah.
Have I fallen out of love for God? Have I?
Yeah.
Am I not feeling anything yet?
And there's a difference too there between depression, say mental disease thing, and also sloth. So with sloth and that, it's one of the cardinal sins. There's a difference. It could be just you're lazy and your spiritual director will say that. Or this could be like genuine, you know, something's happening here.
Mm.
And so a spiritual director is able to discern that for you.
Wow,
with your assistance.
Look, in the Catholic world, I haven't really heard much. I mean, you hardly hear about the connection between the dark night of the soul, mental health, let's say something could be a mental health issue, or let's say even sloth. I mean, to put those three factors and analyze them and see the difference, I mean, that's at another good spiritual level. And that's why I think our listeners would definitely benefit tonight from understanding what is genuinely the dark night of the soul and what is an actual mental condition or depression, let's say, specifically. We'll focus on depression because there's common elements between the dark night of the soul where you don't feel God is consoling you, you don't feel holy after Mass, you're praying your rosary may just simply seem as if it's another chore or a ritual or a dead ritual.
Yeah.
And actually being depressed and down and actually have a condition of depression. It could be situational depression.
Yeah.
Or it could be
clinical.
Clinical depression. There's two things. Like, obviously, if someone's passed away in your family and you're going through a tough period of time, there is that natural situational depression.
Yeah.
I mean, most people do go through situation. But a clinical depression, I mean, I think people, and especially around the Catholic world, you get people, I mean, I meet a lot of very interesting people that are very holy around parishes, in parish groups. I do a lot of a little bit of what I like to call consultancy. The Catholic Toolbox is not just a radio show, but I go around and I actually meet with different parishes. I give them advice on what needs to change here and there, and on parish councils and things like that.
That's why that's all worthy apostolate.
Exactly. And you've spent a great deal of time, up to 25 years in the education system, working for the reformation of the Catholic education system itself in the domain in which you've worked. And now as a psychologist practicing, you have a very unique perspective on the matter of let's say the dark night of the soul and depression. Now, obviously, look, the dark night of the soul, does it just happen to anybody, or does it? How do we understand the dark night of the soul? Well, is it just you've been living your faith for a period of time? It can only happen to someone who's been really living their faith for a period of time,
sure,
and feels a change that they're not feeling or spiritual. Yeah.
God has a design on people, and that's God's providence, you know. So, but we're free to choose that what God wants, or we're free to reject. That's what God's given us, that freedom of choice. But you mentioned Saint Teresa of Avila, and then also Saint John of the Cross. But you look at someone like Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She had the dark night of the soul for about 40 years. But when you look at her, she was joy. She was energy. See the difference?
So she never felt when she went to mass, when she prayed her rosary, when she did her mental prayer, she never felt?
No, she was in total desolation. She was in darkness.
But she knew that God's grace was still working, even when she didn't see it.
That's right.
Or feel it.
That's
right. A lot of people.
Yeah, she doesn't have depression. Yeah. But somebody who perhaps has depression, say, for example, if someone's lazy, they've got too much energy or they eat too much food, someone that's depressed is not going to eat. And when they sit down, they feel like all this energy is drained from them and they won't go out and do exercise, so they isolate themselves. But they have energy, but it feels like they haven't got energy.
Yeah.
And so they can develop this phobia of expenditure of energy. And that's why loss of appetite and loss of body weight. And that.
It's not simply just saving your energy.
No.
I like to save my energy.
They don't. The depression.
I don't save it much.
No, exactly. Well, for another.
I think we're not saving it tonight, are we?
Yeah, no, exactly not. And so a depressed person would love to go out, would love to go and have a coffee, but says, no, I don't feel, I'm really tired. But really, they have the energy.
Yeah.
They need to expend it.
Yeah.
But a slothful person knows that they're having too much excessive things. A depressed person needs help there, because mentally and emotionally, on an interpersonal relationship, everything's gone down the gurgler. Personal relationships, family relationships, parish relationships, work relationships, they get strung right through all of them, where darkness, dark night of the soul, just the soul and God. But a depressed person gets affected in all those other areas that make
up
our life.
You've shed a lot of light on my personal curiosity. Yeah. So the way we distinct is the dark night of the soul is something where when you go to mass, when you pray, when your relationship only with God, the grace of God doesn't change. Mm. Grace is conveyed. Mm. Mm. When you pray, you're receiving divine sanctifying grace. When you go to mass, the sacrifice of Christ is being represented again. It doesn't change with how you feel.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I mean, today around the Catholic world, it's all about, you know, we've gotten sucked into society to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, how we feel, how we actually, you know, we like to change around things and God's law to accommodate how we feel. But reality is God's law, God's work, or the operatio Dei, opus Dei, or the work of God through the Mass, the sacraments, and praying, and your personal prayer with God doesn't change. So Dark Night of the Soul affects how you feel towards that grace, and you're doing everything normal, and you don't feel as holy as it is, where there's depression is something where you're let's say if you're experiencing that or not experiencing that, towards other people.
Yeah, everything.
Normal day-to-day activities.
Yeah. Wow. And even like Dark Night of Soul is even more than how we're touching on tonight. So it's like, for example, if you're looking at the masters, if you're looking at a Picasso or a Rembrandt or Leonardo da Vinci, so when you look at the people that underwent the Dark Night of the Soul, you're looking at people of masters of that spiritual life, you know.
Wow.
It's given to only those that God has destined, you know. And they still had to give their consent, you know, as to obedience, following the spiritual director. Even they might feel abandoned by their own spiritual director. So even God is now, and it's exactly like in Gethsemane, where our Lord felt that that separation, that his father has abandoned him, and he did.
Wow, okay. You know?
But
that makes a lot of sense.
But definitely for us,
some powerful stuff here. Yeah.
And for us that go to Mass, and you know, we there's more than just the sensibilities, you know, and the more you go on the spiritual journey, the spiritual life, the more unfolds, the more you get to know more, you get to see yourself more as, oh, gee, I need to be better there. You know, and this and that. So, so there's many, many, many ways, you know.
So definitely it's sort of God's challenge to say, hey, you're very holy, you're feeling the grace of God. It's easy. We all go to massive, those who are trying to live. And this is not for people who aren't practicing Catholics. Mm-hmm. Who aren't practicing Catholics mm-hmm. or not Catholics. This is for people who are everyday Catholics, mm-hmm. believing in the teaching of the mm-hmm. church, in good standing with mm-hmm. the church, mm-hmm. And trying to be in the state of grace, and in the state of grace, mm-hmm. trying to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
God will then say, hey, let's see how you react.
When you don't feel
yeah. holy after yeah. Mass yeah. and have all those yeah. feelings. I think that's, could we classify everyday people's experiences that go to work and their professional life around yeah. Sydney, around yeah. In Western civilization, yeah. let's say around Sydney,
yeah.
go to work, 9 to 5, go yeah. to Mass. Could we classify somebody that's going through a phase? Could that be sort of like a mini dark night of the soul for everyday people? Because we're not all masters.
Yeah,
like St. Teresa of Avila, a St. Charbel, a desert father. We're not one of those mystics who are away from the world.
Well, God calling you. It's God calling you to yeah. something more. To maybe more action, more
yeah.
more is needed. And so therefore in the spiritual life really comes into those everyday ordinary activities.
Definitely.
Which is sanctifying one's ordinary activities.
Exactly.
And if God has designs on you for something like, because yeah. if you look at Teresa of Avila and St. John of Cross, Teresa founded an order of nuns. You yeah. know, Mother Teresa founded the Sisters of Charity, you know?
Exactly, and they went through yeah. those in Dark Night of the Soul. Mm. Now, that's some powerful stuff we've yeah. already covered here.
Good, good.
Now we'll take a break before we reveal this 3 weeks' practical tools to take action. We'll be back. Stay tuned. And make some practical tips and practical resolutions to really take action if we have either one of those, or really understand the difference and live the difference. Because look, you go around, I think we see a lot of people who are holy, living their lives as Catholics, but they may actually have depression.
Yeah, exactly right.
But they think they're a saint. They think they're another Saint Charbel mystic, mm. you know.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, and you meet people around the Catholic sure. world, you know, and you shake their hand.
Yeah.
They think they know your sins.
yeah, it's a bit like someone telling you you've got a really good voice and they push you on one of those reality shows. You start singing and you get booed off the stage and you get all these bad reports from the judges,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. you think, what am I doing there? They told me I'm good. But you can't hold a note. So we have to be careful. I
exactly.
Think,
I mean, look, I've gone yeah. on, I go every year on a silent retreat for 2 days. And yeah. after that, I think I'm a mystic, you know, and I've achieved, you know, such a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back down, you get shot down by the world again.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the dark night of the soul is a tough one mm-hmm. where
mm.
obviously on a spiritual high, mm. you go down
yeah.
and God's trying to teach you that yeah. it's not about how you feel.
Yeah.
I think the lesson that we learn is it's not about how you feel. God yeah. doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
God is mm. undivided, unchanging, mm. Eternal. Mm. And it's our job in the name of worship
mm-hmm.
to get with this, the yeah. worship of God, get yeah. with the liturgy, yeah. get with mm. His will for us,
yeah.
get with every aspect of it. And we have to reform ourselves
mm-hmm.
to get with it. So that's the lesson of the dark night of the soul, that God's yeah. trying to say, it's not how you feel.
Mm.
Reality is reality.
Yeah.
Whatever level of prayer you're undertaking and your spiritual life is not determined by how you're feeling.
That's correct. That's correct. So
in the moment,
yeah.
especially today, we live in a society today, even that's all about feelings, all about emotions, all mm-hmm. feeds on people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think, look, the Catholic world as well has been sucked into it.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's not to say that there's no such thing as good Catholic media, because this is a good Catholic program.
We hope so.
Right? Definitely, right? So we yeah, can't definitely. Say ban radio, ban TV, ban
anything to do with emotions absolutely or this, right. and just but, focus on...
But today yeah. we are desensitized. We cannot live without lights, smoke, action, flashy things. But you get a man to sit quietly with himself for 5 minutes, he can't do it.
Really?
Because the silence is too loud. That's the misery.
The awkward silence.
God speaks. God speaks in the silence. And it's deafening. But if you put yourself, for example, an atheist might come to you and go, oh, I don't believe in God. Say to him, listen, sit by yourself over there for 5 minutes. I'll come and ask you after 5 minutes. Don't talk.
Give me an iPhone, Android, anything.
No. Just get him to sit there for 5 minutes. If he gets there to 5 minutes, he won't say that there isn't a God. because something is happening. There are movements, there are emotions, there are stories, there's the intellect. Things are working in there. We just need to nurture and give these things time.
So his soul comes out alive in the silence.
Absolutely.
Which is the intellect and the will. So he sees his will, he sees his intellect. Yeah,
that's right.
That's it's crazy reflected stuff. Back to God. That's you actually go, crazy.
Hey, then the person goes, gee, you know what? There is something there. There is something
I don't
there.
Have the intellectual answers to answer it now, but I can sense it. There's something there intellectually without the emotions.
Exactly
because
right.
Because he's pulled out the emotions of, hey, having the luxury of his iPhone and all the pleasures of the world and really taken a hard look into silence.
That's right. And look what God did with St. Thomas Aquinas' intellect.
Have I guessed the first practical tool?
Probably. Silence. Yeah, silence. Yeah, definitely. 5 minutes.
We forgot the drum roll.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
Brrr.
There you go. Yeah. We got to find a sound for it.
We got it. A big sound, eh? Okay. There's this symbol. So, silence. Just allow yourself silence. 5 minutes. Listen. Just listen
per
to
day?
What. Per day?
Done. Yeah. That's going to be hard.
Yeah.
I mean, my spiritual director tells me all the time, 15 minutes of mental prayer daily because, I've been going to spiritual direction for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. George, do better than me. I've been going for 20. Look at me. Like, I haven't improved day one yet. But you know what? It's worth it, George. It's
or could
worth
it be your
it.
False zealousness or your holiness growing?
All of
that's
it.
Saying, oh, it's all but nothing but straw, as St. Thomas Aquinas saw.
Yeah, that's right.
The more you move closer to the light, the more you see dirt.
Yeah, as long as you desire God, you want God on that last second of your life, you desire him, you want him totally, nothing else satisfies you, then that's the main thing.
Exactly.
But that 15 minutes, that mental prayer or that silence, 5 minutes, 15 minutes,
there's people listening to that, look, maybe used to 20 minutes. They've been working on it for you. It does take time. It's not something easy to say, hey, 5 minutes of silence, mental prayer. And that can help you work on your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding the dark night of the soul, obviously, it teaches you that, look, you're not always going to feel prayerful, but the prayer must continue because objectively there's a spiritual change that we don't
see.
We don't feel.
That's
now we're going into the feeling part.
Yeah.
Most people don't believe because they don't see. Oh, I can't see what's happening at Mass. Nothing changes at Mass. I can't see God. Mm-hmm. This. But this is the feeling part if you're a practicing Catholic.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. Definitely. And also for the people that want to see, St. Thomas wasn't stupid. St. Thomas said, unless I put my finger in, I refuse to believe. So St. Thomas, was an empirical scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted
data.
Absolutely. And so if you're more inclined to be like that, God will accommodate you there as well.
Definitely.
And he will show himself through people, events, and life events to you that he's there for you.
Yeah.
But the good spiritual director will guide you to good spiritual books, to the masters, to whom he believes will be of benefit to you.
Yeah.
And then just like a relationship, you put into practice and then you go back to the master and you go, okay, what do we do this? A bit like wax off, wax on, the karate kid.
Exactly.
And we're like that with God. God's the teacher.
I didn't finish the movie, did I?
And we're the kid. We're that kid. We want to do it. I come to the altar of God, the joy of my youth.
Yeah.
And that's what the spiritual life gives.
Day.
Yeah. It makes it beautiful.
Exactly. And I think I guess the second practical tool, which is find a spiritual master.
Yeah.
Let's go to Star Wars. Obviously, find the master and follow the master.
That's
a bit
right.
of wisdom from, I believe, was it Yogi?
Yoda.
I'm pretending Yoda. Yeah. I only watched one of them. I didn't like the movie.
Which is something that our modern world should be good at because we hear about this term gurus. He's the guru of insurance. He's the guru of insurance brokers.
Property gurus.
What they're really trying to say is that guy is giving me God, but they're calling him a guru instead. So if people knew that is the God they're looking for, his name, they don't have. So they call him a guru. But the spiritual fathers, the apostolates, that we have, you know, do have priests that guide us. Even you can begin to ask your local parish priest.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and if you find it doesn't suit or it doesn't fit, find the next person. There's no shame because you're looking for God. God is seeking you. So you both got to find each other.
We've hit the second practical tool. I mean, we're working backwards tonight. Mm. So a bit of a drum roll. The second practical tool is to find a good spiritual director.
Yeah.
Now, that's hard. Because definitely. I'll tell you why most Catholics listening would say it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, look, not every priest can be a spiritual director. Day and age.
Definitely. Some are called to.
Yeah, exactly. That's
their apostle. You know,
And we have a shortage of priests. I mean, when you have 8% of Catholics going to Mass, among whom... Look, a lot of which the reality, I hope I'm wrong. Mm. Someone prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. Please call in, prove me wrong.
Mm.
A lot of which don't even believe in the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And among whom the people who are left, what I like to call authentic Catholics,
mm-hmm.
leaves people who may or may not be called to the priesthood. And again, mm-hmm. still influenced by the world, may not become priests, or we have a shortage of priests.
And hence it comes back to
how do you find a spiritual director?
The priesthood comes back, vocations come back to the family. Priests come from families.
Yeah.
Nuns come from families. So if the family unit is split, the family unit is not praying, we don't have vocations.
Or could we revert to lay spiritual directors? Could that be a thought?
It could. It's a possibility.
I do personally receive spiritual direction from a lay person. I mean, that's in keeping with obviously... my spirituality of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá that called for the universal call to holiness
and definitely. Obviously
influenced a lot of the work of the Second Vatican Council. A lot of people think Saint Jose Maria was influenced by the Second Vatican Council, but it's actually the other way around.
Mm.
I was speaking to a good priest friend of mine that the universal call to holiness and personal holiness in the midst of ordinary circumstance, which you live very thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're in a busy worldly job and you're finding holiness through every patient that you meet with.
Yeah.
And so I do receive spiritual direction from a lay person. You know why Saint Jose Maria believed that this day and age we need to receive spiritual direction from lay people.
Okay.
We do need our priests.
Yes.
But sometimes you can also receive direction from a lay person. Because think about it, a priest isn't married. At least in the Western Rite. Maybe the Eastern Rite, you can find a good director who's married and can advise you on your marriage.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to the master. A priest who's celibate, hasn't mastered, may know about it, but hasn't mastered living and meeting the needs of a wife and children or a full-time job. He may have worked, had a profession, but it's not up to date. So you know how we talk about these days, advice has to be current?
Yes, right.
You know, like you can't come back in 20 years' time, practice psychology and be like, what up? You know, we've had advancements, we've had changes, especially technology.
Mm.
So... I think it's important as well to consider holy people who are in your life situation as spiritual directors. But again, you do need a priest as well to oversee a little bit of that.
Because the priest provides the sacramental, you know.
And the spiritual confession. Dimension.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To complement the fact that you're not, we're not spending our time full time living, working with the sacraments. It provides that bit of what's lacking in our day-to-day life. Yeah. You know?
And the Catholic Church has the answers. They're all inside. You know, the problem with our Catholic Church at the moment is the interior of our church, the interior, which is prayer, the sacraments, confession, spiritual reading, having a spiritual director. All of these things are solid bulwarks of the Catholic faith.
Definitely.
But there's so many different roles for as many Catholics there are in our local parishes today. Everyone is called by God. Every single one. I think Pope Benedict, whilst he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he was asked, how many ways, are there to God? And he said, well, how many people are there?
Wow.
And he said, well, as many people there are, that's how many there are ways to God. But each person's way to God is a personal one.
Exactly. And now we'll take our break before we open the line for questions. For those who would like to call in here with your question, 1 a.m. The Catholic Toolbox, for those who didn't know, is live on Cradio, Parousia Media's online radio now, which is a online-only radio. You can tune in live or listen again to the podcast on cradio.org.au. That is cradio.org.au.
Good news.
That's great. You can also subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of the episodes and view also on YouTube. So we've launched the Catholic Toolbox podcast and we'll be having recurring episodes here that's available. It's available now on Android and the iTunes and every single other platform worldwide. So now, for those men who want to live their calling as a man, check out my Rite of Manhood podcast also on iTunes and the Android, where I'll walk you through each week to create your rite of passage into manhood, and also go to the website on www.theriteofmanhood.com for more information. Now we have an open line, so if you'd like to call in with your questions or comments, the number to dial is 9625611. That is 9625611. Or email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Or in the comments section of the live video stream on the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page. We're looking forward to hearing from you, our listeners. We didn't get to the third tool, did we?
No. Yeah. We were going to.
Got ahead of ourselves, I think, this week. Yeah, because there's just so much to discuss. I mean, if we want to talk about the dark night of the soul. I mean, who talks about the dark night of the soul these days and the mind and compares it to psychology? Not many people. No. I mean, to condense it in an hour is really hard.
Yeah,
you know?
But it, you know, the dark night of the soul and depression, you know, your spirituality, it's all it's important, and therefore, so with depressive symptoms, you've got your pharmaceutical and your therapist, and also that in no way makes it any different for you in your spiritual life, because in your spiritual life you have to do your readings, your sanctification of ordinary activities,
exactly,
etc. So the spiritual life goes on, and of course, if you're, you know, if you're put through the dark night of the soul by our Lord, you know, well, you know, it's a tough one, but I'm sure that if you have a spiritual director and it so happens to be where God is leading you, you know, God's prayers and God's blessings for that. Yes,
and we just got an email from Robert from Sydney, who's emailed us through. I feel down when I pray because I don't feel anything. Should I see a counselor or an expert to explore this, or should I see a spiritual director? Interesting question from Robert.
Interesting. Okay. Well, not feeling anything. For example, if you're starting to lose interest and pleasure in everyday living, you're starting to lose an interest in work or school or your family, and you're starting to stop your sport, and you don't find any pleasure in music and social life, that could be a good sign to pop off to your GP and discuss these symptoms with him or her. And if there is a psychologist that you'll need to see, I'm sure that the doctors will be able to, and they're trained to pick up any symptoms. Also, maybe a good confession can be a solid start too. Asking the parish priest, you know, in confession, confessing your sins, and then saying, hey, Father, I'm experiencing these things. What do you think? Some priests know to refer on to.
See, that's the thing. Not every priest can be a spiritual director.
Exactly. And and not every priest can pick up whether you're suffering mentally as well, you know. And really, for confession, we only tell our sins. That's it.
Yeah.
But if it's something more than that, you find there's something more, then perhaps see a GP and get some help from a therapist.
That really is true. I mean, confession is just for the sins. And especially absolutely. For me. I mean, I'm on the verge of not wanting advice. I just want to get absolved and get it. Absolutely. If it's not my parish priest, then I'm just in the line.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I want advice. But look, the thing is, Robert, I think personally is that you have to look at what you're feeling. Is it when you're, again, that's the litmus test. Is it when you're just praying that you're not feeling anything?
Yeah.
And everything else is normal in life?
That's right. Yeah.
If you're not feeling it, that's normal. Okay. Yeah. If you're if you've been a consistent Catholic praying, growing, Mm-hmm. It may also just be that, look, as you get closer to the light, as John Paul, you know, let's say John Paul II, you know, the saints, they got closer to the light. Why did they wrap up their penance?
Yeah.
They ramp up their penance because they realize the holier you get and grow,
the more
dirt you see,
the more sin,
the more conscious you are, the more advanced you are. So, I mean, we all suffer not feeling stuff. It doesn't really mean dark night of the soul. So pretty much like everyone that would be calling in, giving us that ordinary people, most cases won't be dark night of the soul.
No, that's correct.
Spot
on, George.
Yeah, unless, let's say, you came out of the desert from Egypt and you've been there for 20 years or you've been in the mountains of Mount Athos in Greece, the Holy Mountain, or let's say the Valley of Lebanon or any other European monastery, you know, maybe. Could be a consideration.
Yeah, if you come here and see the lights, you want to go back.
There you go.
Exactly.
So definitely. And we have another email question from Mary from Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that my sin is what allows me to feel depressed after it. Does sin have a direct effect on your mental well-being, or could it cause a mental illness, since after all, it is against our nature? Very interesting question.
From a different angle, really. Definitely. Sin is an offense to God and God only.
Which is against our nature.
That's right. And so if you, and once again, it looks at the will. Did you?
Intellect. So the soul's the intellect and the will.
The intellect.
You're sinning against your soul.
That's exactly right. That's right. And God made your intellect, the will, and your memory, your imagination, your understanding.
So
that's all part of it.
To that. Yeah,
there is a psychic element, but if it becomes habitual, you need to keep going to confession.
Yeah.
And if there's something more than that is covered or revealed, or if something's really gone down in your life recently of major importance, you know, maybe all of a sudden your academic subjects, you start to, you know, get lower grades and this and that, you know. Check that out. That could be something worth seeking a therapist over.
So if sin affects your life directly, let's say in a negative way?
Definitely. It'll have an effect on your mental, physical, emotional being.
It definitely does. Can it go to the extent of creating, let's say, a clinical condition?
It can. And it may not. So it's a bit like, you know, when you throw a coin up and decide which way to run in a sports game.
Exactly.
It's a 50-50.
Yep.
But if you know God and you know you're trying to do the right thing, then help is available.
Definitely. And look, something is very interesting is that we can often get, and this is what I was told years ago, and I really reflect on it, and I'm more conscious about it now because I think I've spiritually matured to some extent, is false zealousness. And this is often, a lot of the time, what I've noticed about myself is I can often be too zealous, let's say, with my spiritual life. But again, when you really examine the intention, it's not good. God would want you to pray less, you know, if he had his way, because it disciplines the mind that, hey, I'm on a hype now. I'm on a roll. You know, I feel holy, you know, but then maybe 2 weeks later, you don't feel that same zealousness. It just goes to show how short-term emotions, by their very nature, when you incorporate emotions to spirituality and let them take over, not to say emotions are bad.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the liturgy, our faith engages the senses, you know, the sight, look at the beauty that these artists, because of their spiritual and truth and beauty. We have the teaching that truth and beauty, as Aristotle says, there is an ultimate beauty, which is there's contingency there. So, but letting it take over.
Yeah. And with zealousness, George, don't be too worried about that, because that also God can use, because it was those zealous people that wanted to get the paralytic man in through the roof. If it wasn't for their zealousness and the urge to have this man treated, he wouldn't have got well again.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have been taken through a roof and let down through the roof.
If we analyze this situation, they could have hypothetically had some false zealousness, but then some of it matured into, hey, okay, to adjust your measure to how heal the paralytic man. Mm. And
God knows what we are, what we have. You
exactly.
know? You look at ambitious Peter.
Exactly.
You know, who's the greatest? They fought. They fought all the way. And yet something would happen and their total disbelief, they lose faith in our Lord.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And it's that beautiful, it's nature and grace and the ups and the ebbs of, you know, of the boat of life, you know, with our Lord. He's there all the time sleeping. Why? Yeah. Because he's tired, he's human, you know, and it's such a beautiful, the gospel's such a beautiful open book for us to see all the different types of people, and we have to picture ourselves there.
Definitely.
In those moments.
Definitely.
Happening right now in the present.
Yeah, wow, that is phenomenal. I mean, the way you describe that.
Yes.
That I think that's a lot for this week.
Mm.
So the time's run out. Thank you for being with us tonight, Robert. It's a pleasure as always, and getting into the deep discussions and the nitty gritty of understanding. I think we've been equipped with the three tools. So let's take action now with our faith from tomorrow and onwards.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes and also view on YouTube. Thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox. Until next week, I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. God bless you all and good night. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic Toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.